Okay, today's daf is daf memvav. We are on memham abeis. Again, today is one of those dafim that every day we say there's a lot to say, and we'll get back to it, which we never do. But today is really, you don't even have to search. It's just on the surface, and really you can spend many, many hours on today's daf. Many different topics come up, but Be'ez Hashem will touch on a number of them. Again, part of the godless of daf yomi, and what we're supposed to appreciate and realize is the vastness of the Talmud, or the vastness of the topics, and hopefully whet our appetite to do our more of our own research in these sugyas. So again, even though we have to go through them a little quicker than we would like, but still, we do the best we can. Okay, so we are up to, even yesterday, at the end of yesterday's shiur, there was more to talk about, but today we continue. Mem hei amabei is about 12 lines up from the bottom. Avdei. Avdei de Rabchia bar Ami. So remember yesterday, the whole daf was centered around the discussion of Eved v'akav avah bas Yisrael, havlad mamzer or ein havlad mamzer. Is a child of a goy and a Jewish woman, is it a mamzer or not? We had a machlokas amaram about that. Lamaisa hilchas of the Gemara said the child is not a mamzer, though the child might be pogum l'kahuna. That was not 100% clear in the Gemara. Machlokas we've shown him. Shulchan Aruch is machmir l'chatchila. What does that mean? The Eved of Reb Chiya Bar Ami was matbil, made a certain non-Jewish woman go to the mikvah, l'shem intisa. Rashi gives two pshatim, we'll go with the first one, which he accepts. L'shem intisa means l'shem nidus, a woman who was not toveles l'shem gerus, but all she was toveles was l'shem nidus, for to be picked up tahora from her nida status. Amar of Yosef, yachilna la'achshure ba ubabarta. I think she's kosher, and if she has a child with this eved, I think the child's kosher, the daughter. Ba kidravasi. Number one, I think she's kosher. I think she's Jewish. Why? Like Ravasi says, Diyamar Ravasi milo tavla lini dusa. As we're about to see in a story in the Gemara, Ravasi paskid, after hearing about such a case where a woman was not tovelas l'shem gerus, but tovelas l'shem nidus. Wasn't she tovelas for her nidus? Doesn't it work? And Rashi's shita is, we'll talk about this more in a minute, Rashi's shita is about the fifth to last skinny line, tfilas nidus salka lo l'shem gerus. This is how Rashi reads the Gemara. A tefillah is a tefillah. This is a tefillah. How the Achronim formulated is, a tefillah is a maisa hamitaher, and once you have the maisa hamitaher, as long as it's not l'shem rechitza, as long as it's l'shem a tahara in Judaism, whether it's taharas becoming tahora from her nidus, whether it's becoming Jewish, either way, that works. And therefore, she, says Rav Yosef, she is kosher, and so too Babarta, and also her daughter is kosher. Why? Because that's what we discussed. So that's what Vlad kosher. Vlad kosher, the child would be kosher. So in this case, not only is she kosher, the child is kosher. Yeah. No, but she's not that it's by a guy. She thinks she's Jewish now. She's acting like a Jew. But she just never had a tefillah l'shem gerus, as we're going to talk about later on the daf. The tefillah is one of the ingredients that's needed for a gerus. She never had that in mind, but still, according to Rashi, it works. All the Rishonim ask a number of various different questions on Rashi. Number one, maybe the strongest one, is the Meiri's question and others, and that is, how could you become Jewish without kavana? Without a maisa, you would think the tefillah is needed l'shem gerus, l'char, misvara. Shouldn't you need a tefillah, l'shem, becoming a Jew? No, you can't become a Jew in your heart. Oh, I'm Jewish. No, you got to go through the proper process. So the Meiri asks, how is it possible to become Jewish without going through the process, l'shem, becoming Jewish? Question one. Rashi obviously doesn't accept that. Rashi holds that it's just the Maisa Matayr. But other technical problems are asked by other Rishonim. And that is Tosfos. Tosfos has two questions that the Rishonim ask. Number one, we're going to learn later on, maybe tomorrow, that Tefillah requires a Bezdin. Tefillah Tzarach Gimel. Require a Bezdin to witness the Gerus. So the question Tosfos asks is, right, how is it possible that there was no Bezdin here? Tosfos says, Tema, Dabla Kaman, the Gerut Tzarach Shlosh, the Mishpach Sivvei. You need three. Or, Tosfos also asks further down, that the tefillah of a gerus is compared to din, and it has to be bayom. Tefillah of a nidus, dafka balayla. So again, how does the tefillah of Anida work l'shem geira? So Tosfos comes up with a big chiddush. It's a major machlok that's Rishonim. Tosfos says only the Kabbalah's mitzvahs needs a bezdin, not the tefillah. The tefillah does not need a bezin according to Tosfos. Again, this is a machlokas Rishonim. We know there are various ingredients to make up a geirus. Mila, tevila, hartzaas damim, meaning bring a carbon bisman amigdash, and kabbalas mitzvos. So the question is, what part of that is all of that equal? Is part of that process more ikur than the other parts of the process? Beautiful lumdis in these sugyas. But Tosfos says that the tefillah does not need three, only the kabbalas mitzvos. And then he says also, by Lila also, only the Kabbalah's mitzvah is called din, and that would need yom, but the tefillah is a secondary aspect, and therefore it doesn't need three. Maybe it's a t'nai, it's not just part of the ikar process of the geirus, and therefore Tosfos holds that it is on a different level. Tosfos has a second answer, where Tosfos says on the second to last line, maybe it's anan sadi, v'yesh mefarshim, t'kivin diyadua la kol shetavla, ki'ilu omdim sham dami. Maybe because everybody knows, as if they're standing there, because they know she did tevila. This touches a little bit on how the Rambam formulates it. When the Rambam writes this halacha in Hilchos Isuri Biyah, the Rambam says, once you have somebody who's acting like a Jew, who's looking like a Jew, who's fulfilling mitzvahs like a Jew, biyadua, this is like a zaka that she's Jewish. Meaning, mistama, she must have been tovelis. Not that this tevila l'nidasa counts, but the Rambam's formulation in Yud Gimel Tes seems like that it must be that she did it. It must be that she did it. She's Noe B'darcha Yisrael, V'osa Kala Mitzvahs, B'cheskas Ger Tzedek. So that seems to be like Tosfos' second answer. Again, this is a big discussion of Rashi. Do you need Kavana for the tevila of Geirus? And if to answer that, are you mechalik between the different parts of the Geirus process? So that's what Tosfos started off with, and hopefully we'll get into that more either later today or tomorrow at the beginning of the shiur. Continuing, finishing up. There was a man who used to call him the son of the Aramean woman, Armiyasa. Because she was one of these that was Tovelas Lenidasa, Amar Vasi. Here's the story. Milo Tovel Lenidusa. She must have got to the mikveh at some point, Lenidus, so even though she never went L'shem Geirus, still it's good enough. And also, Ahuda Vikarile Bar Arma'a. There was a man that was called the son of an Aramean man, an Arma'a. They used to call him, and Amar Shimon Levi. Again, he also said, Milo Tovla Lekirio. Didn't at one point, he was Tovel for his state of Balkeri. And if he was Tovel, so then that also works. Just like L'shem Nidus works by a woman, L'shem Balkeri, works by a man. And therefore, you don't need, according to the Rashi, learns the Gemara, you don't need a specific tefillah L'shem Geirus. Period. We'll get back to Geirus in a little bit. First, the Gemara goes off on another discussion of Eved Kena'ani. Eved Kena'ani, just one minute of background, it's a unique institution in Halacha. Eved Kena'ani is a guy who is willing to now come work for a Jew, to become an Eved Kena'ani. Part of that acceptance is to become partially Jewish. Partially Jewish, Eved Kena'ani. He's Mekabel, he is Chayiv and Mitzvahs like a woman. I mean, there are differences between the two, but generally, he's a Chayiv and Mitzvahs like a woman. He goes to the mikvah when he becomes an Eved Kena'ani, to become partially Jewish. And then when he becomes free, and the Jew, machlokes, whether now he has the choice to become fully Jewish or to go back, we'll discuss that hopefully in the future, in a couple of dafim, but he goes to the mikvah again. He goes to the mikvah again, l'shem ben chorin, l'shem becoming a full Jew. So he goes to the mikvah twice. There are two types of kinyanim, which the Gemara is about to talk about. Two kinyanim, which the Rishonim expand upon, that a master has in his Eved Kena'ani. There is a kinyan mamon, which is obviously like any kinyan. You work for me, and I make money because of your work. That's a kinyan mamon. But there's also what the Rishonim call a kinyan isser. Kinyan isser means that I have a kinyan in your mahus, in your guf. That's mashakana Eved Kana Rabo. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, just because what he gets, I get. Similar to Mashakana Isha Kana Baila. Why does that work? That's just because he works for me. If he works for me, I shouldn't be, he should still have a yad. He should have a halachic yad. The fact that he doesn't have a halachic yad, that reflects a deeper type of kinyan. And that's what's called in kinyan isser. I have his mahus belongs to me. And that's why there are certain marriage ramifications to that kinyan. It's not just a kinyan mamon, but it's also a kinyan isser. So, Eved Kenani, two stages of the tefillah process, and also two types of kinyan. So says the Gemara. And again, because we're talking about, these are the Geirus Sugyas and Shas, right here. So that's why we're talking about Eved Kenani here too, because it also is a type of Geirus. Let's say you buy, instead of just buying a guy, a non-Jew, by himself, I'm ready to work for you, right? So that we're going to get to later. But let's say you have a non-Jew that's owned by another non-Jew. He's already an Eved to that guy. And that guy is selling him to you. And the deal is done, right? You took the money. And all of a sudden, before you got to take your new servant and put him in the mikvah, L'shem Eved Kenani, he jumps in by himself and says, I'm going to become a full Jew, I'm a free person, and he jumps into the mikvah. And he's Tovel Hashem Ben Chorin. The Kadam Tovel Hashem Ben Chorin. What's the halacha? Tough luck on the master. Kana Atvo Ben Chorin. He becomes a free, totally free person, and the master is tough luck. He has to pay back the master for the loss, because now the master doesn't have lost out some monetarily. But that's the halacha. My time, why? Why can the Akub do this? Because, as we'll see based on Psukim in a few minutes, a non-Jew cannot own the mahus of another non-Jew. He can't have that second type of kinyan. The only type of kinyan he can have is the first type of kinyan. He can only have the first type of kinyan, which is a kinyan mamon, a kinyan in the you're making money off of his worker. So when you sell a person something, you can only sell them what you have authority over, what you have. So the non-Jew master is selling the kinyan mamon to the Jew. So he sold him the kinyan mamon, but now the Jew didn't get the kinyan isser yet until he dunks him into the mikvah. So because of that, because the non-Jew went and first jumped into the mikvah himself, the kiva, the kadim, the tavel, the chorin, afke l'shibudei. Because the non-Jew went in first, he precluded the kinyan isser of the Jew, and he was able to become a totally free person. And how does this work? Kid the Rava. It works like the Yisod of Rava, which we've had. I think we had it in Maseches Pesachim. To Amar Rava, Hektish Chametz V'Shichrur Mafkiyin Midei Shibud. What does that mean? Shibud means I have a monetary lien on somebody else. You owe me money. I have a shibud against you. Here, the Jewish master, the new Jewish master, has a monetary connection, has a lien against this servant. But the halacha is that shibud can be broken. That shibud can be broken. That's the chiddush of Rava. In three ways it can be broken. Hektish chametz v'shichrur. Hektish. What happens if I designate a certain item to, I'm going to pay you back with this item. I owe you $100. I'm going to pay you back with this animal. And all of a sudden, before I pay you back with it, I say, this animal is hektish. I'm makdish it. You know what the halacha is? The animal is hektish. The hektish breaks the shibud, even though two monetary shibudim, the second one cannot break the first one, because if I owe you money and then I sell something to somebody else, so then my original creditor could take from the lekuchos. That's how the halacha mostly about lekuchos, nechasim mishubadim, a property that is already leaned to the first person cannot be sold to the second person. But Rava's chiddush is there are three avenues that you could break a shibud, even if it happens afterwards. Number one, if you give it to the Beis Hamikdash. Number two, chametz. What's the case of chametz? Rashi explains, if I'm holding property that I owe to a non-Jew, and all of a sudden Erev Pesach comes, all of a sudden at that moment I have a chiv to get rid of it. I have a chiyuv to get rid of it. That isser of chametz breaks the shibud. And number three, shichrur. If I tell my friend, my slave is the lien, and if I don't pay you back, or I'm going to pay you back my slave, and then you're mashachrur, then you free your slave. That also, those three are all mafkia midei shibud. All of those undermine a previous monetary relationship, and this is one of them. This is one of them. He jumps into the mikveh himself. He's Meshachar himself. And therefore, that's how it works. Oh, very important Rashi here, which is Rashi L'shitaso in a number of places in Shas. Rashi here says, second Rashi on top, we know there are two types of Hakdasha. There's Hektish Mizbeach and Hektish Bedek HaBayis. So Rashi here, Lashitaso, to a number of other places says, what are we talking about here? Which Hakdasha breaks a Shibud? Rashi says, Hikdisho Limizbeach, Tahavi Kdushas Haguf, Paka Shibud Etakama, Avakdushas Bedek HaBayis Lo Mifka'a. There are two types of Hektish. I could give an animal to the Beis HaMikdash to be sacrificed. This animal has Kedushas HaGuf. Its body is Kadosh, and now it can be sacrificed. Or I could give Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, which means I give something for the value. I give an animal, but I give the value of this animal belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Or I give a book. I give my backyard to the Beis HaMikdash. What's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with my backyard? Nothing. What's it going to do with my backyard in Golis? So what are you going to do? The Beis HaMikdash is going to sell it and going to take the value of that. But that's called Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. It doesn't have inherent value. It can be redeemed. Right? You just mean it for the value. So is there any major difference between those two Hakdashos, those two ways of being Makdash something? So Rashi here and in Gittin Daf Mem says the same thing. Hektish Mafgir Midei Shibud, that din of Rava, only applies by Kedushas HaGuf, or also called Kedushas Mizbeach, not by Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. And ask Reb Chaim why. What's the difference between those two? Or, I'll give you another example. Rashi quote in Psachim Dachayim Abeis. Rashi says that when it says that you don't violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, if you have Hektish in your house, that's only if you are Maktashil Lebedek HaBayis. But if you're Maktashil Lemizbeach, you violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. That's the opposite. So why is that? Why do you violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, Rashi Psachim Dachayim Abeis? Why do you violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh if you're Maktashil Lemizbeach? It's sitting in your house, but it's still Hektish. So Reb Chaim said it's based on the Tosas of Baba Kama, where the Gemara of Baba Kama has a stira. This is in the Grach al Hashas. When I look at the Grach al Hashas, I'm in Reish Mem Tes. The Gemara has a stira. If I steal something and then I makdish it, amai chayiv dal vehei. Is that called a sale? I know usually there's something called tavachu machar. If I sell what I stole, I'm chayiv 4 and 5. So if I was makdish it, so one Gemara says yes, one Gemara says no. Two Gemaras, 3 blocks away from each other. So what's the, if you're, is it a sale or is it not a sale? So says Reb Chaim, it's a based on a Tosfos there, there's a fundamental difference between two types of Hakdasha. Hektish Bedek HaBayis, they both are Kadosh. They both achieve holiness. But the question is how? Hektish Bedek HaBayis, you know what that is? First and foremost, you change the Dine Mominus of this item. This item now becomes Shel Hektish legally. Once that takes place, Memele gets Kedusha. Hektish Bedek HaBayis is a sale. That's a Mechira. That's a Mechira. Now it belongs to Hektish. Memela gets Kedusha. Hektish Bedek HaBayis, Hektish Mizbeach, though, on the other hand, says Reb Chaim, says that's fully monetarily yours. But you imbued it with Kedusha. It has very strong, direct Kedusha from the Baal HaBayis. You are Makdish it. L'Mizbeach. It has to have a connection to you still. You know why? You wouldn't be able to get kapara if it didn't have a connection to you. If it totally belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't be able to get kapara from your chatas, from your ashram, from any karban. So Hektish Mizbeach doesn't change in Dini Mominus. It just has a kedusha to it. So that's not called a sale regarding Tzvicha Mechira. And that's why by Ba Yorah Ba Yimatzeh, only if you're Makdash or Bedek HaBayis, because now it's not yours monetarily. If it's Hektish Mizbeach, you're right, it has high kedusha, but it's still yours. You're going to violate Ba Yorah Ba Yimatzeh. Back to our Rashis, that's why Rashi explains that which one is Mafkia Midei Shibud? Only Hektish Mizbeach. Because that's not, if it was Bedek HaBayis, first and foremost, that's a monetary change. A monetary change, you have a previous monetary obligation. So you can't, that wouldn't undermine the previous Shibud. Hektish Bedek HaBayis wouldn't undermine it because that's Dini Mominus. What do you mean? If you sell it, it's not going to work. Only Hektish Mizbeach, which is a pure Hakdasha, if doing Kedusha with it, so that itself would be able to undermine the previous Shibud. Okay, that is all the two Rashis here, based on a Reb Chaim. Again, there are other Shitas in the Rishonim, but this is the Rashis all over. Rashi here, Rashi Gittin, Rashi Psachim, and elsewhere. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Masav Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, 1 minute. So remember, what's the case we're talking about here? The Jew buys the guy jumps into the mikvah and says, hey, I'm a free man. So it's tough luck on the Jew. He was mocked him and now he's free. He's not an Eved Kenani. So Maisa beBluria haGioras, there was a story with Bluria, the Gioras, the convert, Shekamu Avdeha v'Tavu l'Fadeha, she and her servants were becoming Jewish. She was becoming Jewish and her servants were going to become Eved Kenanis. But what happened? Before she got a chance to go into the mikvah, they jumped into the mikvah. What happened? Uba Maisa l'Vnei Chachamim v'Amru Kanu Asa b'Nei Chorin. They said, Bluria, sorry, they are B'nai Chorin, they're free, they jumped in before you. So we're medayik from the story. Lefaneha in. Only because they jumped in before her while she was still a guy do they become free. La'achareha lo. But shouldn't we be medayik that if they jumped in after her and they have now a Jewish owner, then they can't preclude the avdus. And they wouldn't be able to be tovel Hashem ben chorin. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rava, don't make that diak. Why is the Lufaneha important? Because of the following. Lufaneha bebestabim furish. If they jumped in before her and they became Jewish before her, then even if they didn't specify why they're being tovel, so then they'd still become free. La'achareha, but if it's after, yes, it could still work. But then they have to be mefurish. Be mefurish in bistamlo. Only if they specified they would jump in l'shem ben chorin, and that's what we had before. Rav's case was lokeach, and they jump in dach l'shem ben chorin be mefurish. Okay. Amar Rav Avya, when does this whole halacha apply? Lo shana ela b'lokeach ben ovikol chavim. When do we say that the non-Jew who jumps into the mikvah, l'shem being a free person, and doesn't want to be an eved, when does that work? That only if you're buying from a non-Jew, as we said, from another non-Jew. Aval ovid kachavim gufei kani. But if it's a non-Jew himself that has agreed to come work for the Jew and become partially Jewish, to be a ben chorin, but to be an eved kanani, so then he doesn't have the ability to jump in and be makdim. Dechsiv, why? As it says the psukim. V'gam ebnei atoshavim ha-garim imachem mehem tiknu. From the people who live around you, buy from them. End of the pasuk. So we darshan atem konim mehem. You have the ability to be kone from them. Velohem konim mikem. But they cannot be kone from you. Velohem konim zemizeh. And they can buy from each other. So what is that referring to? Velohem konim mikem lamai. In which, regarding which halacha, could they not be kone from you? Ilei malamai se yadav. Is it that a non-Jew cannot own a Jew regarding just work? Not a Kenyan Israel like we spoke about. Is it that a Jew, a non-Jew, cannot have a Kenyan mammon in a Jew? That's wrong. A non-Jew can have a Jew work for them. V'haksiv, it says, a Jew can halachically work for a non-Jew. And a non-Jew can own his ma'isi adayim, the money that he makes. Elola, but what must this brisa be referring to? When the brisa says that a non-Jew cannot own a Jew, legufe, as we call before, the kinyan iser, the kinyan in the mahus of the Jew. And yet, v'kam rachmana, atem kone mehem, avi legufe. But it says the opposite, that a Jew can own the non-Jew in this case, so a Jew can have a kinyan iser in the non-Jew. And therefore, that's how you know that it would be automatic. He wouldn't have the chance to jump in. The Gemara just ends off and says, but how do you know that? All the Brisa says that it's possible. It never said if he jumped in earlier, maybe it only works if you went through the proper channels. But maybe if he jumped in earlier, then it would work too. Kasha, you're right. We don't answer that question. There is no real proof from this Brisa that there would be a difference between buying from a non-Jew or buying a non-Jew himself to work for you. Okay, Amar Shmuel. V'tzarech l'takfo b'mayim. As we said, the two stages of quote-unquote gerus of a non-Jew that is going through the Eved Kanaani Jew path. So at the first stage of tefillah, you have to hold him down for a moment when he's in the mikvah, when he's being tovelis. Beautiful language of Rashi here. Rashi says, in the middle of the Amud, Tzorach she is kafenu la'seis alav ol malacha b'mayim, kidei shetehi nireis ketfilas avdus. You have to do a specific act, so it's nikar, that this tefillah is a tefillah l'shem avdus evikinani, and therefore you hold him down in the water for a moment. Ki haide binyamin avdi d'Rav Ashi, like binyamin, the servant of Rav Ashi, Ba'alat Bule, he wanted to be Tovel him, Masrini Alai L'Ravina L'Ravacha B'Rei D'Rava, he gave him to these two rabbis. Omer Lahu, he said to them, he warned them, Chazi Dimenaychu Kabaslei, if you don't do it properly, I'm going to be Toveya from you. It's Yon Yor Achrayis to do it properly. Do the tefillah properly. Ramulei Arviyasa B'Tzavreis, they put a leash on his neck, a kind of chain on his neck, Arfulei V'Tzimtzumulei, and they kept loosening it and tightening it. So they had to loosen it, so it's not a chatzitza, because the tefillah has to touch every part of the body. But they tighten it sometimes to make sure he doesn't do his own thing with his tefillah, to make sure that he realizes that he's going to be an Eved Kanaani. Bahadi didali reisha b'maya, when he had his head in the water, anchle zulta the tina areshe, they put a pail on his head of cement, of dirt. V'yamrle zil amtu lebe rabba, marach, go work for your master. Meaning, again, to do a maisa hani keres, that this tevila is l'shem eved kinani. Minchas Asher has a beautiful piece in Parshas Yisro, where he talks about maybe this is what kafalem harkagigas was. Right, putting something on the Jew's head, l'shem avdus, why do you need, by the big question of Tosfos, why do you need kafalem harkagigas if you already have an asav nishma? Different answers given in the Midrashim and the Rishonim. So the Minchas Asher suggests that this is l'shem avdus. We were not Zevin Ishma, but we weren't B'nai Chorin. When we became Avdei Hashem, we became Avdei Hashem, we became Avadim. So just like an Eved Kenani gets something put on his head in order to be Nikar L'Shem Avdus, so to Klal Yisrael. We got Kafalem Harkagigas, we got the mountain put on our heads. That's the Minchas Asher, we just had the schus of hearing this week, in Parshas Yisra. Period. Amalir Papa L'Rava. Papa once said to Rava, Chazi Mar Hani Debe Papa Bar Abba. Have you seen what that family of Papa Abba does? They pay people's taxes for them. And then they take them as slaves. They take them as servants. In lieu of the fact that they paid their taxes. Kinafki Tzuicha Gidta Cherusa Olah. What type of avdus is this? They pay their taxes. They take them for servants. Is it a serious type of service that they need a shtar shichur? They need a document like a halachic shtar to free them after this avdus or not? Tosfos says, second Tosfos says, the question here is dina de malchusa dina, the law of the land is the law, is that something serious that could create an avdus? Meaning, it was the law of the land, as we'll see in a minute, that if you pay a person's taxes, that person is indebted to you until they work off the amount that you paid for them. So Tosfos says, the question is, does that have a lot of ramifications? That din of dina de malchusa dina. Again, another shas topic, which we're not getting into. Amar lei, so Rava answers, Ichu shechivi lo amri luchu amilsa. Oh, if I would have died, I would never have been able to tell you this. Meaning he was very excited that he asked him this question. Hachi amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Mur hakayu dahani, the seal of bondage of these people, betafsa de balkamanach, it's resting in the seal of the king. Meaning, yeah, the government has these laws. Umalka amar, the king says, Mandal yov karga, the one who does not pay his taxes, mishtabi lamandal yov karga, becomes an evet to the one who pays taxes, and therefore, yeah, this is a real shibud, and they would need a shtar shichur. It seems like a kinyan aguf even, because shtar shichur is only needed by a kinyan aguf. So lachor, it seems like even a kinyan aguf is created. Doesn't mention the mikvah, but again, if he has the status of an evet kanani, so then he would have to. Says the Gemara. Reb Chiya bar Abba ikla l'gavla. One time Reb Chiya bar Abba came to Gavla. Chazah b'nos Yisrael d'ma'ap. So he saw three improper things when he came to Gavla. Number one, Chazah b'nos Yisrael d'ma'abin migayim shemalav lo tavlu. He saw Jewish women that were living with quote-unquote gayrim that only had milah and didn't have tevilah. Right? We know there are at least two aspects of gayrus. So they had milah, but they didn't have tevilah. And the Chazah chamer d'Yisrael, he saw Jewish wine. He saw Jews holding up their cups of wine, and he saw non-Jews diluting that wine. The non-Jews didn't touch the wine, but they diluted the wine with water. And he also saw termesin, which we had back in Masechah Shabbos in the Borer Sugyas, the termesin, these types of beans that the non-Jews used to cook for the Jews. He didn't say anything. He saw these three things. Also, the Kavod Rabbi Yochanan, until he got to the Rebbe of the town. Keter Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Tseva Achrez Abaneim, go scream about these people. Abaneim Sheim Mamzerim. Number one, their kids are Mamzerim. Valgenim Shem Yayin Nesach, and they're drinking Yayin Nesach. Vel Termesim Sheim Bishuli Ovikochavim, and they're eating Bishalakim. Lepishayin Abane Torah. That he adds this last line, referring to the last statement, you got to make sure they don't eat Termesim because they're not Bnei Torah. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to explain in a minute. But let's go through each one. Why did he say that the children are mamzerim? The fact that they're living with people who only had mila and not tevila. Why? Rabbi Yochanan l'taimi. This is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. The Amr of Chibar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Lo olam einon gerash, yamo v'yitzbol. A machlokas we're going to have later on today. Rabbi Yochanan holds, until you have mila and tevila, you're a guy. Mila and Tefillah are both needed. You're not Jewish, you have both. So these people, these men they were living with, were not Jewish, halachically. And the Kiva Devot Tavil, Ovikol Chavimu. And the Amar Abba Rechada, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. What do we have yesterday? Eved Kochavim, the Echon, Eved Abba Bas Yisrael Levan Mamzer. And Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that an Eved Ba'akum that lives with a Bas Yisrael Levan is a Mamzer. So that's why he said their kids are not Jewish. Or their kids are Mamzerim. We don't hold like that, but Rabbi Yochanan held like that. We don't hold, Rabbi Yochanan held like that. Number one. Number two, what was the second problem he saw? He saw their wine, he called it Yayin Nesach. Why? The din of Yayin Nesach is only if a non-Jew touches wine of a Jew. Touches. Handles. Doesn't have to drink it. Just touches it. Unless it's Yayin Mevushal. So the question is here, he didn't touch it. All he did was pour water on a Jew's wine. Says Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Lech Lech Amr Nazira, we tell a Nazir to go around. Skarachar Lakarmelo Tikra. We tell a Nazir, don't walk through a vineyard. I mean, go walk around the vineyard. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. We tell him that take precautions, don't even walk in a vineyard. So Rabbi Yochanan was saying, you're right, the non-Jew didn't touch it, but you know what? It's very close to Yayin Nesach. The non-Jew poured the wine in, diluted the wine, so it's not actual Yayin Nesach. You're right, but it's very close to Yayin Nesach. And just like we tell the Nazir to stay away, we should tell these people to stay away. And they shouldn't have this. They shouldn't have this done. That's number two problem.
The guy has to touch the actual wine?
The guy can touch the bottle.
The bottle's enough.
But here he didn't touch the bottle. What? There's a kid. What? He poured water into the Jew holding the wine. So Rashi quotes, that's called kocho. Kocho. So again, that's that he didn't actually touch the bottle. Number two. And number three problem, the alternative mishum bishuli akum, lefish enem b'nei Torah. What does that line mean? It sounds like because they're not b'nei Torah, that's why it's going to be usher to them. Ha b'nei Torah shari, what do you mean? What if they were learned people, we'd allow it? But v'yam rashu barav yitzchak, which made the rav, kol anechal, again, bishul akum comes up. Like I started off the daf today. There are 15 different topics here that we could have a whole shir on. But kol anechal kamoshu chai, ein bo mishum bishuli akum. Anything that could be eaten raw, there's no problem with bishul akum. We mentioned this in the past. For a termis, in an echal gemoshu chai, but a termis cannot be eaten raw. V'yishba bishul mishuli over kachavim. So what do you mean? It's only usher to them because they're not b'nei Torah, but b'nei Torah would be allowed to drink it or eat it. What do you mean? This is the termis that cannot be eaten raw. So says the Gemara. No, Rabbi Yochanan kiidach lishna svirle. Rabbi Yochanan held like the other lishna. Another one of the three rules of bishul akum, not the raw one, but the following one. Damar shul by Rav Yisrael mishpei the Rav kol she'ein ola al shulchan malachim lecha bo'as apas. Anything that does not go up on a king's table. This was the second rule of bishul akum. Anything that's not a chashiv food ein bo mishum bishuli akum. And termesin is not a chashiv food, and therefore really make her a din is mutter. And that's why Dafka said v'taima de'ina b'nei Torah, because they're already not being so medactic and so many halachas. You got to make sure, you got to be mechazik them in some areas. They got to try to go to the other extreme and take upon themselves extra halachas. B'nei Torah shari. But if they were b'nei Torah, they wouldn't have to go this extra mile. Tosas points out here, again, like we mentioned in the past, Tosas, Yirmas, Lor, Yochanan, each of these heterim stand independently. Right? Either if it's only in raw, or it's not a chash of food. Or the third one was if a Jew does part of the process. So that is, each of these heterim, Tosfos points out, B'shem Rabbeinu Tam, stands alone. Literally, the question, what does it mean, Ola al Shulchan Malachim? Right, it's a question, Machlokas in the Achronim. Does that mean the fanciest king's meal, or is just not Machal Garua? Not just Machal Garua. It's a big discussion in the postgame from 60 years ago. What about sardines? Is there Bishul Akum by sardines? Right, so it was a machlokas of poskim about it. So they say the machlokas was the Chazon Ish and others, they quote in the first Misora, they quote for Schwab, had a discussion with the Chazon Ish about it. The Chazon Ish felt, which direction was it? The Chazon Ish felt that Afa Sardinim, he felt it was Aser. He says, Afa Sardinim Ruim Laos Hashom Malachim, I'm sorry, he felt it was not a problem. So which one was it? Aser. I'm sorry. Chazon Ish said it was Aser. Why? Because the Chazon Ish understood Ola al Shulchan Malachim as long as it's not Machal Garua. As long as it's not bad food. Other Achronim say, no, it means what he eats at the state dinner. What he eats at a smorgasbord at a wedding. Not what he eats stomp going a snack food in the car. So again, that is a machlok. This is the hardest rule in Bishul Akum to pin down. How to define what is Ola al Shulchan Malachim and what is not. Again, that is a big discussion, which, yeah, we can't finish right now. Yeah. What about donuts? Donuts many times are not mevushal, right? They're baked, that's pasakum, which is different halachas. If they're deep fried, donuts sometimes are deep fried. So donuts that are deep fried, that's an issue of bishul. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ger Shemova lo Tava. What about a ger? Getting back to the issue that was brought up before. A ger that had mila and not tvila. Reb Elazar Omer Hareze ger. That's a ger. Reb Elazar holds mila is enough. How do you know? Shkematzina bavosinu Shemova lo Tavlu. Our forefathers had mila and not tvila. Second wide line in Rashi. B'yamei Moshe. Kishayatsu mi Mitzrayim. When they went out of Mitzrayim. V'yatsu michlau b'nei Noach. L'kabel ha-Torah u'l'kabel p'nei ha-Shechina. When they were in Mitzrayim, they only had Mila, not Tefillin. They left B'nai Noach. So Rashi here is alluding to a big discussion, and that is, before Matan Torah, what was the status of the Jewish people? Was Avram Avinu a super B'nai Noach with a couple of extra mitzvahs, or was he a Jew? Or was he a Jew even before he got the rest of the Torah? That is a major discussion. That is the Mishnah Lamelech has a sefer, the Parashas Drachim, which he has a lot of drushes. The first one, it's known as his suffix. Were B'nai Yisrael, before Matan Torah, did they have the status of B'nai Yisrael, or were they just super B'nai Noach? And he quote, one of the sources that he quotes there is 2 days in the Ramban. The Ramban himself discusses this. If you remember the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Emor, by the Magadev, the one who cursed Hashem, so the Torah describes him as a son of a Jewish woman, Ben Isha, it's Bar Mitzvah Parsha, right? Ben Isha HaYisraelis, Uben HaYisraeli. The mother was Jewish, the father was not Jewish. But the Pasuk adds, Besoch B'nei Yisrael. He went out and cursed Besoch B'nei Yisrael. And Rashi quotes, Melame Chenizgayer. What did Besoch B'nei Yisrael? Oh, he did Geirus. It's the Ramban on the Medrash that Rashi, what do you mean Misgayer? His mother was Jewish! What do you mean Misgayer? So one pshat is, it just means he followed his mother's path. That's what Misgayer means. But the other pshat, the Ramban quotes from the Tsarfatim. The Tsarfatim says, we're talking about here before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, Jews were like non-Jews, paternal descent. You go after the father was Goyish, not Jewish, the mother is not Jewish, the child is not Jewish. He goes from the Tsarfatim, says, and the Ramban himself argues, I don't know what he's talking about, there were still Jews. Machlokas here in the Ramban, the end of Parshas Emor. Did B'nai Yisrael, did they have the status of B'nai Yisrael or B'nai Noach? Before Matan Torah, Machlokas 2 days in the Ramban, whether he had maternal or paternal descent by the Jewish people before Matan Torah. But again, Rashi here says, look what Rashi says, when they left their status of B'nai Noach, he's talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim here. Right? So if you take that Lashon of Rashi literally, so that's important for our sugya. Okay. So Rav Elazar holds that Mila v'lo Tefillah is enough. Tava v'lo Mal. What about the opposite? Yet Tefillah without Mila. Rabbi Shua homer harei zager. Rabbi Shua says, it works. Just Tefillah. How do you know? Shekei matzina bi'imaho shel talavu v'lo malo. Hey, our mothers... The mothers, the imahos, didn't have Mila, and they still became Jewish, so it must be that Mila is not Ma'akev. The Gemara will ask your question in a minute, don't worry. Reb Yoshua, Nami Nilapi Avos, I, Reb Yoshua, who says that Tevila is enough, why doesn't he learn from the Avos that you also require Mila? Reb Lazar Nami Nilapi Imos, why doesn't he learn from the mothers? The Chitema, and if you want to say, Ain't on an Efshar Mishi'i Efshar, the mothers is not a Raya. They don't have Bris Mila because they don't have a place to do the Machama Mila, to do the Mila. So you can't learn from there. The Gemara says, no, tough luck. You're still allowed to learn Efshar, possible from Efshar. Reb Lazar holds you learn from there. Why? Biotanya, the Brisa says, Omer, how do you know that carbon Pesach throughout the generations is not allowed to come from Meiser Sheni money? Meiser Sheni money, you got to bring up to the base to your Shalayim and use it for other things. You can't buy your carbon Pesach with Meiser Sheni money. How do you know that? There are Pesach in Mitzrayim and as in Pesach Ladoros. It says Pesach in Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim there was no Meiser Sheni yet. And it says Pesach Ladoros. Ma Pesach in Mitzrayim ain't by Elam and Achulin, just like Pesach in Mitzrayim only came from Chulin, because there was no such thing as Meiser Sheni yet. Pesach in Ladoros ain't by Elam and Achulin. So too Pesach Ladoros. It says to Rabbi Akiva to him, Amalei Rabbi Akiva, V'chidon and Efshar Mishi'i Efshar. Can you make that such a limud? How can you learn that you don't need something from a time that it was impossible to have it? Amalei says, Rabbi Lazar, yeah. I hold that you're allowed to learn Efshar from Efshar. So we're back to the question. Why doesn't he learn from the Imahos? So Elo, the Gemara says, you're right. Really, plain Tvila would work. Tvila, we don't pass on this way, we'll see later. Tvila without Mila would work because you learn it from the Imahos. Ki pligi b'mavolo tava. Machlokas is, what about Mila without Tvila? Rabbi Eliezer, Yalef me Avos. Rabbi Eliezer, he learns it from the Avos. Mila by itself is good enough. Rabbi Yeshua, but Avos nami tefila have. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Who says the Avos didn't have tefillah? The Avos also had tefillah when they became Jewish. Minale, where in the Torah do you see that our forefathers had tevilah? So two possibilities. Ilema midasiv. Do you learn it from the pasuk by Matan Torah? Leich el ha'am v'kidashtem hayom u'machar v'chibsusim losam. Hashem tells Moshe, go tell them to sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. And Moshe Rabbeinu added on a third day. We learn from the Gemara in Shabbos and wash your clothes. Meaning wash your clothes in a mikvah, and we have a kal v'chomer, umah b'malkom she'ein ton kibus, in a place where you don't have to wash your clothes. Rashi explains a bal keri. A bal keri does not have to wash his clothes. All he has to do is go to the mikvah. Ton tefillah, a bal keri who does not have to wash his clothes, yet he has to dunk in a mikvah, so malkom she'ton kibus begadim. So in a place where you have to wash your clothes, matan Torah, ain't no digiton tefillah. So surely you should need tefillah. So maybe that's the makar that our avos went through tefillah also. The Gemara says, no raya. But Dilma Nakiyas Ba'alma, who says that washing clothes is for l'shem tahara? It just means take a shower. Take a shower before Matan Torah. Take a shower before Yantif. So Gemara says, you're right. Elamei Hacha. We learn it from a pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Vayikach Moshe es hadam, vayizrok al ha'am. Moshe takes the dam and sprinkles it on the am. But Yisrael got blood sprinkled upon them on Matan Torah. Ugemiri de'en hazah below tefillah. And we know that there's never sprinkling without tefillah. Rabbeinu Tam says in Dibur Maskil de'en, without a prior tefillah. You always have a prior tefillah before hazah, and therefore that's how you know that's the makar that Bnei Yisrael did tefillah also. Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua just says back one more with something to say on this, but let's just finish the conversation. Tefillah b'imos minalan. How does Rabbi Yeshua know that the imos had tefillah? So the Gemara said svarahu d'im kein b'mayin nechlo d'achas kanfei hashchina. How they had to do something to become Jewish. They can't do milah, so they must have done something. So they must have done tefillah. Period. Okay, there's a thought that I mentioned a number of times already, but it came up here a little bit, so can't not mention it again. And that's the thought of Rav Huttner, where it talks about the parsha at the end of Parsha Mishpatim. Here it says he takes the blood. Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the am. If you look at the psukim there at the end of Mishpatim, the Torah describes that Moshe takes the blood and then he takes half of the blood and sprinkles it on the mizbeach, and half of the blood and sprinkles it on the am. So Rashi asks the question, mi chalako. The Torah doesn't say that Moshe split the blood. It just says he took the blood and then he took half of it. So how did who split it up? So we would have said, Moshe split it up. The Torah doesn't say every detail of what happened. What does Rashi say? B'malach v'chilako. An angel came down from heaven to split the dam. And the answer of Huttner, an angel had to come down from heaven to split the dam? Moshe couldn't split the dam? Moshe could split the dam just as well as anybody else. So why a malach? So says Rav Huttner, no. What's the message here? Half the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach that symbolizes Ben Adam Lamakom. And half the blood was sprinkled on the Am that symbolizes Ben Adam Lachaveiro. Lest a person ever say throughout history that part of our Avodah, one part is more important than the other one. And it doesn't go hand in hand, it's not a tandem. But Malach V'chilako. An angel from heaven and came down and split it exactly to make sure that nobody ever thinks that one part of our Avodah is more important than the other part. And then he ends off with a great line that I've mentioned, and that is, the Galus of Yisrael Meir HaKohen was not that he wrote Sefer Chafetz Chaim, which is all about Hilchas Lashon Hara Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and not that he wrote Sefer Mishneh Berurah, which is all about Hilchas Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Hilchas Ben Adam L'Makom. The godless is that both of those svarim were penned by the same author. Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Chafetz Chaim and Shemiras HaLashon, and the Mishneh Berurah. That's based on that little parsha. Okay, let's continue. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan, La'olam Eino ger, remind me to tell you a binyan sion, but let's just finish off a little bit. Lolam eino ger, ashiyamo v'yitzbol. A person is not a ger, Rabbi Yochanan says, until he has mila and tevila. That's what we paskin. You need mila and tevila. By the way, you also have to have kabbalas mitzvahs. That's not listed here, interestingly. Hopefully we'll talk about that in the future. Eino ger, until mila and tevila. Pshita, yochad rabim alaka rabim. Of course, we said that on Amun Aleph. Did I read that? Did I skip that line? Did I skip anything on Amun Aleph? I did it. I don't remember reading that line. The Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim, I'm back on Amun Aleph. Tavav lo mal, mavav lo tavav, eino ger shiyamo v'yitzbol. I might have skipped that line. Anyway, I read it now. So the Chachamim on Amun Aleph hold that you need both. You need both. So says the Gemara, of course the halacha is like you need both. That's the halacha karabim, says the Gemara. Yochad rabim halacha karabim. I bet somebody out there was listening and saying he skipped a line on Amun Aleph. So now I, Baruch Hashem. So man Chachamim, Reb Yossi. So we say, no, you're right. It's not so pashut, because really the shita that says you need both is really a das yachid. It's really the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Titanya, harishabava amar malti velo tavalti. If somebody comes to a Beis Din and says, you know what? I had milah and I didn't have tefillah. Matvila no so, umabaka. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? Dunk him in the mikvah. You don't know if he had milah? Big deal. Mabaka. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that tefillah is the ikker. So he didn't have milah? Okay. Seder. Rabbi Yossi omar ein matvila. Rabbi Yossi says, no. You can't be tovilim. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi holds you need both. And you can't put him into a mikvah because first you need milah and then you need tefillah. Something also we'll talk about in the future is the order ma'akev, milah and tefillah. Lefichach, because you have this machlokes, whether tefillah, milah and tefillah both are needed or just tefillah, matvilan ger b'Shabbos de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you could even be tovel a ger on Shabbos. Why? If you know that milah was done, either or we'll see is really the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore you're not being misake, you're not really doing anything on Shabbos when you put him in the mikvah because he already had milah beforehand. Rabbi Yossi omer ein matvilan. Rabbi Yossi says no. You're not allowed to put him in the mikvah, because once he has milah, then this is really being making him a Jew, and that, as we'll see in a minute, is usur on Shabbos. Okay, let's finish up our discussion here. Amar Mar, let's talk about these shittas. Well, we had a machlokes, whether you have to be dunkim, and then the Braisa said, and therefore, there's a machlokes where you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Lefichach matbilan ger b'Shabbos. Therefore, you can do it on Shabbos. Pshita, Gemara says, each opinion is obvious. Kivin d'amar Rabbi Yehuda b'chadasagi. Once Rabbi Yehuda says that either or mila or tefila hecha d'balafaneinu matvilin malifichach. So once you know he had mila before Shabbos, so of course you're allowed to put him in the mikvah Shabbos. What are you doing? You already had mila beforehand. So Gemara said no. Ma'o the tamal Rabbi Yehuda. I might have said that according to Rabbi Yehuda tefila ikur. Really, I would have said according to Rabbi Yehuda. Really, you're right. Either or, but really tefila is the main one. But tefila b'Shabbos lo, and therefore you can't do tefila on Shabbos. The kamisakin gavra. You're fixing him, meaning you're making him Jewish. There's no greater tikkun than that. Kamash balan, Rabbi Yehuda oha oha boy. That's the chiddush that really Rabbi Yehuda, they're equal. They're equal halves, and they're not halves, equal holes. And therefore, if you do one before Shabbos, the other one is allowed to be done on Shabbos. That's within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein matbilin. Rabbi Yossi says you can't do the tefillah on Shabbos. Pshita, again, Rabbi Yossi says that's also obvious. Kivan the Amar Rabbi Yossi tartibi inon. Once Rabbi Yossi says you need both. To kunigar Rabbi Shabbos lo misakininon. But what do you mean? So of course you can't do it on Shabbos if that's what you need for Geirus. Isn't it a tikkun? So the Gemara answers, no. Ma'o the tema, Rabbi Yossi mila ikker. You might have said, even according to Rabbi Yossi, mila is really the ikker. V'hasam hujlo havi mila b'faneinu. And so when does he not allow tefila on Shabbos? When you're not sure if he had the mila. Aval heichad havi mila b'faneinu. If he has the mila in front of us. I might think then the tefillah can be done on Shabbos because really milah was the ikker. Kamash balan, Rabbi Yossi tarti boy. That's the chiddush that no, Rabbi Yossi really needs both. Really needs both, and therefore you can't do either one on Shabbos. Period. Three discussions. Number one, the fascinating issue brought up, there was a tshuva, halacha lemaisa, the Aruch Laner in the Binyan Siyun, Simin Tzadik Aleph. It happened in, what year was this? Tough Reish Tess in Iyar. Happened in Yerushalayim. There was a guy that was going through the Geirus process, and he had milah. He had milah, and they wanted to wait a couple of days while the milah became healed, and then he was going to go to the mikvah the following week. There was a Shabbos in between. All of a sudden, on Shabbos afternoon, one of the gedolim in Yerushalayim sent a message that this guy has to be mechal Shabbos. Why? Because there's a halacha that a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos, and he's still a guy. He only had milah without tefillah. We pass, and he's still a guy. So he sent a message to him, this certain rav, that tell him to be mechal Shabbos. And it was like an hour left of Shabbos, and he was mechal Shabbos. Okay, the next day the other Rabbanim of Yerushalayim heard about this. And they put out a hachraza, we never heard of such a thing, what's going on here, what'd you do? So this Rav, who Paskin this way, sent a letter to the Aruch Laner. Says, this is what I did, I'm sorry, you're right, I should have asked the other Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, but it was a rush, it was an hour left of Shabbos, I didn't know what to do, and I did it. So what's the psak? Is this person, the halach is, Goy Shabbos Chayim Misa, a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos, but he's in the middle of the Geirus process. So says the Aruch Laner. It's an amazing question. So what do you say? So Gemara doesn't talk about this case. So says the Ben Yosi, Chakarti b'shar makom shebekavlam geir. He says, first of all, I checked out all other communities. I have never heard that a person who after milah has to be mechal Shabbos. The minug is that he's not. That's the minug. So the question is the minug correct? So he says, I think hadin im haminug. I think the minug is that he should not be, and not only that he shouldn't be, but he's not allowed to be. He's not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. He says, first of all, it's negat seichel. Why? He says, this guy already had a krisas bris. He had a bris milah. Oh, so even though he had a bris milah, so he has to be mechal the other bris. Shabbos is also called a bris. So he already he's in it. He says number one. He says number two. He says he's already basically he's on his way. He says think about it also. He says but Israel and Mara. But Israel and Mara already had Mila. They had to do Karan Pesach. We all had Mila. When did they have Tefillah? What was our Gemara? By Har Sinai. And they already had Shabbos. They got Shabbos in Mara. So they had Mila without Tefillah. They kept Shabbos even in Mara. You want to say they weren't B'nai Yisrael? Yeah, they were B'nai Noach, relating to our other issue. Either way, the Binyan see in Paskins that this guy was wrong. So he apologized, but he felt that this post really, Mila below Tefillah in this case, he does have to keep Shabbos. One other point, I guess I said three, maybe we'll start with the other one tomorrow, but just one other point. That is here, our Gemara says, a gerus is not allowed to happen on Shabbos. Right? It's tikune gavra. Tosfos here points out, even though if you're tamei, you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. You're allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos because it doesn't look like you're doing anything. It doesn't look like tikkun. It's nira kemekar. Looks like you're taking a arminog. Fine, it's not to go swimming on Shabbos. But it looks like you're cooling off. Tosfos says, what's the difference? Tosfos says, here it's different. Why? Because you have the two rabbis sitting on the side of the mikvah. So it's not nira kemekar. It doesn't look like he's just cooling off. It looks like something's going on here. The Ritva here, though, and the Rashba, we mentioned this already in the Maseches Beitza, says no. Maybe the difference is that there's no great. This is a greater tikkun than any other tikkunim. Becoming a Jew, that's a greater tikkun. And that's not because the two rabbis standing on the side, but the Ritva here and the Rashba there in Beitza says this is a greater tikkun. You can't compare of going from Tummy to Tahar than from going non-Jewish to Jewish. That's the Ritva and the Rashba. I saw one of the Achronim in the Briur Hadaf. Why did Tosa say that answer? Is that a great answer? Don't compare Tumah to Tahara from non-Jewish to Jewish. So what do the Achronim say? No, because maybe Tosfos thinks that before the guy goes into the mikvah, he's a guy. He's a mitzvah in shot. He's a guy. He can do whatever he wants. So what? It's our iser to be matzvil him? Maybe, but the way that Tosfos maybe looks at it is that, no, it's he's a guy. So he's not mitzvah. That's why he has to come up with another answer. Okay, we'll start Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow with another Tosfos, and there's a lot more stuff coming up. Again, these dafim are really chock full of inyanim. Okay.